This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Now it's time for the man that we have been talking about for the entire show. Doug Ford, the new leader of the Progressive Conservatives, joins us. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Libby. How are you doing?
Fine. Congratulations.
Well, thanks so much, Libby.
Okay, well, by now everyone is familiar with the drama and the tumultuous problem-plagued process that preceded your victory. When I spoke to you less than a week ago, you weren't even sure you would accept the results. So when did you realize that you had won?
I guess basically a few minutes before I did the press conference. They were going back and forth, and there was some questions that Christine had, but more importantly, Libby, I'm so happy that Christine's on board. She's going to play an instrumental role in our government, along with Caroline and Tanya and the rest of the MPPs and candidates that we have. And we just have a great group of people, and we just can't wait to get the city, the city and the province, I should say, back on track.
Now, you ran the campaign focusing on grassroots versus the elites, and it has only been 48 hours. It sort of seems to me that your focus since winning has been on getting those people on side. You prioritize speaking with big corporate-owned media that you often criticize, and the people inside the party, the power brokers that you said didn't want you, seem to be trying, I would say, to moderate your image. Is that the strategy for the election?
Well, I've never heard they're trying to moderate my image. I'm not going to change my image. I am who I am, and that's why people elected me, and that's why we're going to have a super majority coming this coming election on June the 7th. So our party's together. I've reached out to vast majority of all the MPPs and majority of the candidates. Everyone's on side. They're really excited, and we're going to take on Kathleen Wynne and the Liberals. We're going to turn this province around and make it the most prosperous region to do business and in North America.
The people that I've talked to, kind of a broad section, and the message seems to be from people who supported all candidates is kind of don't worry about Doug Ford. He's not the firebrand you think he is. Is that, like, are we going to see a gentler Doug Ford?
I think I'm always gentle. The only time I'm not gentle, Libby, is when the government's stealing money from the taxpayer and all the special interests and all the political insiders, political establishment, when they're getting sole source deals and they're feathering the nest and lining their pockets full of the taxpayers' money. Absolutely, I'm going to be jumping up and down and going after these people, because I'm there to protect the people, no matter if they're the grassroots people, or I'm there to protect everyone from the taxes that we've seen in this province. It's not sustainable.
You've been called a populist. Would you describe yourself that way?
I don't know about the populace. All I know is, when I was on the road, we had packed houses that they'd never seen before in these towns. So they tell me, and more importantly, there was people that were lifelong NDP, lifelong Liberal members, people that were disenfranchised from the PCs for 20 years that have come back, and they're telling me they have faith in me, they're voting for me. Even people are saying, I've been an NDP lifelong member, but I'm voting for you. Not necessarily the party. So I encourage everyone to come on board. It's a big tent. We have lots of room for NDP, Green, and Liberal, and NPCs.
Yeah, I mean, there are people who, I mean, there was just a poll that says the opposite, that there are people who don't like you, but they might vote for the party just the same. Are you
sure,
trying to
I'll
focus
take
on
that?
The...
I'll take that vote, but the more opportunity I have to meet people, I think the better it is. And I don't believe in polls. Polls are for dogs, and the only poll that counts is on election day.
Are you going to be changing the platform?
we are going to be changing the platform. We're going to simplify it. We're going to focus on reducing the size and cost of government, creating good paying jobs, reducing wait times in hospital, and making sure we fix our healthcare system. We're going to go through the curriculum of the education system, and we're getting rid of that nasty carbon tax and reducing hydro rates. Those are the issues people are talking about, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to listen to the grassroots people that haven't had a voice over the last 30 years, and we're going to be their voice.
Basically, you've been asking voters to trust that you're going to find efficiencies to pay for all those things. I think people want to see a fully costed platform. Is that going to be coming?
Yes, it will be. It will be, but I'll tell you one thing. Every place I've went to, and I've crisscrossed this province to every town and every city there is, probably more than once, and all I'm hearing right now is when I ask the people, do you think we can find 4 cents on the dollar? First reaction is everyone laughs, and the second reaction is that's only 4 cents. So we'll start off with 4 cents, and we'll go from there.
I remember you mentioning at one point during a discussion of the minimum wage, saying that you don't think people making $14, which is the current minimum wage, should pay taxes. Is that in that platform?
Yes, it is. So anyone making $30,000 or less, they're going to pay 0% tax. They're going to have $160 back in their pocket. What's happened is over 50,000 jobs have been lost already. I think it's going to jump up to over 100,000 jobs. And people are frustrated. Many people told me, Doug, I'd rather have a job than no job at all. And I said, you're going to keep that job. You're going to make sure that it sticks at $14. But I'm not going to gouge you like Kathleen Wynne gouged you. As your hourly pay jump from 11 and change up to 14, who's making the money? The Liberal government's making the money. I take a different approach. If you really want to help people, put money back in their pocket like I'm doing. $160 a month, tax-free, is going to go a long way.
I was just talking to Deb Matthews, and of course, what they're saying about the platform as it exists now, they're saying it's going to result in $8 to $9 billion of cuts and about 40,000 public service jobs lost. I'm assuming you dispute that.
Well, I laugh when I hear the Liberals tell Doug Ford about the finances. I'll tell you, that's like telling Santa Claus how to get down the chimney. It's unbelievable that they would even have the gall to try to question finances when they've made this province a total mess. Most indebted region in the entire world, $311 billion, $12 billion a year in servicing our debt. They're just tacking on another $8 billion in the deficit. They should bury their heads in the sand. They should be embarrassed. They're killing this province. They've killed it.
Before we get to the phones, and we're getting there momentarily, what's your take on the threat of Andrea Horvath maybe coming up the middle?
Well, you know something? We saw what happened under the NDP government in this province. People have long memories. They remember the disaster it turned into, and then to top it off, we had to face the Liberals for 15 years, and they destroyed this province. 300,000 jobs have left this province. That's that's unacceptable. We're going to bring jobs back into the province. We're going to make this the most prosperous region in North America to do business in. And we're going to bring prosperity back to the people, finally.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We've got Chris in Toronto. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, hello, Mr. Ford. I know that you've been a champion for small businesses, and I've heard that you say Ontario is open for business and you want to get rid of the elites that monopolize every business opportunity. If elected, do you plan to do what your party has done in Manitoba and allow small business owners to apply to open retail stores to sell cannabis? Or will you continue to allow Ontario to be run by government monopoly that only benefits a small group of companies run by Liberal Party insiders?
See, I like that. Geez, you should be running for office. I like that. It's about the market. The market should dictate. You have to understand we're going down a path we haven't been down before with legalization of marijuana. But I've always had the same belief. Let the market dictate. Why should certain retailers have a monopoly on this and other retailers get pushed to the side? So yeah. I'm a big proponent of the free market. I'm a big proponent of making sure everyone is on the same playing field. So I think I'm pretty clear on my answer on that one.
So are you going to scrap then what the Liberals have done? Is that a done deal?
Well, you know, to be fair, I've been the leader for probably a little over 48 hours, probably a little longer, maybe 50, 60 hours. We're sitting down, we're reviewing it. I'm meeting with caucus members. I'm talking to caucus members. I want to get their input. But I've always campaigned and I've always been a believer of getting the government out of our lives and getting the nanny state out of our lives and the liberal ideology we've been under for the last 15 years. And let the people decide. Let the people decide. Let the market dictate. And I'm a strong believer the market always dictates and puts us in the right direction.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Okay. Let's go to Margaret in Thornhill. Hello, Margaret.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi,
good afternoon. Hi, Mr. Ford.
Hi, Margaret.
Congratulations for winning the leader of the PC party. I wish
Thank
you well and be strong and listen to the voices of people.
Yes.
What I want to ask you is, when Mike Harris was Premier of Ontario, I believe 10 or 11 years ago, he closed up about 6 hospitals. Now, there's a hospital on Finch and Bathurst of Branson, very highly populated area, and it's very, very important for it to be open, like they closed all the wards and even the walk-in clinic, just the machines are going. Are you, if you become the Premier of Ontario, like to open these hospitals rather than build some more for the care of people and give us the best care with doctors and nurses and avoid waiting periods and things like that? We need it so badly.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. And Margaret, I'll answer this pretty direct. I don't believe in closing hospitals. If we're going to rebuild a brand new one on the same site, well, I'm okay with that. But closing hospitals is not what I want to do. And even further, Margaret, I believe in getting the healthcare professionals, the doctors that have been under attack by the Liberal government for years, and the nurses get their input. I'm having Dr. Reuben Devlin. He built the first digital hospital in North America, Humber River Hospital.
Humber River,
he's going to be heading up my health team, and he's a great doctor. But I'm going to have other doctors. Some of the best doctors in the world, Margaret, are going to be on my team. And they've committed already, and I look forward to getting their input because no one knows it better than the doctors.
Okay. Even if we have to bring them in from other countries, good doctors.
Don't.
Like my brother was a surgeon, and he went to the States, and he worked there, became colonel in the Army and everything else. He worked so hard. He was a great doctor. We need some great professionals here.
Okay.
You're right.
And for the people.
Okay, Margaret.
For the best of the people. You
Thanks
know.
A
yes,
lot.
100%.
Another
Thank
thing
you,
I want to ask you something.
Thanks, Margaret. And I want to interject there. We have great doctors here. We really do. I don't think the United States has anything on us and the talent of our doctors. Doug, home care, do you have any idea how to fix that mess?
Yeah, I don't know if we're talking the same thing, Libby, but I call it for elder care, for seniors. Absolutely. That system's broken. The seniors built this province, built this country. Not only are we going to focus on elder care, we're going to focus on the number one issue I'm hearing is dental. So we're going to take care of the dental for seniors. The cost is over the moon, and they can't afford it. They're having problems even paying their heating bills, not to mention taking care of their dental work. So that's a big issue. We have to find affordable housing for seniors as well. I've heard a lot of people having to put a second mortgage on their house or basically just selling their house because they can't afford the taxes and the hydro bills and
the
maintenance.
Those are all issues that are very important to us here, as I am sure that you know. And home care, you know, right now the hospitals are bottlenecked because there are people there. They have nowhere to go.
Uh-huh.
And there's also an issue with long-term care.
Yeah, I think there's opportunities there, and saving costs too. We should have proper home care and elder care, and if they can't stay at home, we should have facilities. The most expensive place to take care of anyone right now is in the hospitals, and that's what I'm hearing from the doctors. And we can give equal or better care to seniors in other areas.
Okay, let's go to Julius in Scarborough.
Julius, how are you, my
Hello.
Friend? Hi,
Hello.
Julius.
Oh, a pleasure to speak to you, Mr. Premier in Waiting.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Ford. The, 1 second.
Julius?
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
My question, Mr. Ford, is in the paper this morning, the city's facing a $1.4 billion budget gap, right?
Yes.
And we have a provincial major debt in the province and major debt federally.
Mm-hmm.
How long can we go on before we hit a wall like New Zealand did in 88, which I always go back to?
Mm-hmm.
And your credit card is fully burnt out, and we can't get more credit. When are the money international money boys going to come after us and say no more lending? When are we going to hit a wall on this, and who's going to address it?
Yeah, Julius, you nailed this right on the head here. I said, and I'm not going to jump into the city, but I said over and over again, the city's being mismanaged. We're going to have over $1 billion of debt, and everyone was ignoring me, Julius, but you obviously were paying attention. But sure enough, when we had a surplus down there and all the reserves were full, he's done a terrible job financially, our mayor, I'll tell you that right now, and it's proven. Secondly, with all the debt in the province, as I've said, we're $311 billion in debit, another $8 billion deficit. You need responsible government. You need someone that has principle to go in there, make the changes, start respecting the taxpayers and reducing the cost of the government. Yeah. I'm going to do it. I did it in, at the city. And by the way, I always qualify that it wasn't just Doug Ford. It was Mike Del Grand, Doug Holliday, a good group of us down there to reduce taxes. And if we don't, this is not sustainable. And I don't know who we're kidding here. I've been saying it and saying it. And, you know, the likes of the Toronto Star, they really don't care if we're $100 billion or $300 billion in debt. It doesn't even faze them.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. The media doesn't seem to work these stories too often. They don't,
they don't.
Let it go.
Oh, Julius, okay.
They don't. They just want to ignore it and just keep pushing their leftist, ideology.
Okay.
My final comment, if I may?
Well, there are people waiting, Julius.
If Wynne gets back in, God forbid, she will cut, and cut.
Okay, Julius, thanks for that. Speaking of the city, Doug, have you been in touch with John Tory? I know that he reached out to you.
Yeah, so over a text. We haven't talked personally yet.
And how do you foresee that relationship, should you be successful?
Well, it's a good relationship. I talked to John. I've seen him at events. I shook his hand the other day at an event in front of everyone. I said, I got to hold on to his hand because if I let go of his hand, it'll be right in your pocket, taking your money. And I'm not shy to say it in front of him or behind him. At the end of the day, all levels of government have to be more responsible. And that's what it comes down to. I'll tell John, I've walked a mile in John's shoes. I understand the pressures, but he has to be a lot more responsible than he has been. And I predicted it before I even knew this was coming. I predicted it as I talked to you on the phone numerous times and your listeners. I said we're going to be in a crisis in Toronto, and sure enough, in less than 4 years, we're in a crisis. When we had a surplus, we had the reserves full, we paid down our debt. Now it's just gone backwards, and enough's enough. People are sick and tired of being taxed to death by all three levels of government.
Okay, well, there are people at the city level who, of course, dispute your numbers, but we'll get to that another time. Let's talk to John in Oshawa. Hello, John.
Hi, how are you?
Fine.
How you doing, John?
Great, thanks. I'd like to say congratulations to the Ontarians, never mind yourself, because it's congratulations to us that you're stepping up for us. Thank you.
Well, thank you, John.
All right, so my wife works in healthcare, but I want to... My expertise might have been more towards electrical. So I just left Bala, where they're destroying the center of town there with a dam. But also, I worked in the city of Toronto, where people have said to me, why would they put tracks in the middle of a good street? And the overhead wires there and the 4 feet of concrete everywhere, why wouldn't there just be electric buses in place of that?
It said here you wanted to talk about windmills, John. So are you asking about streetcars? Is that the question?
I'm staying with electrical because Bala was the dam, the streetcars. But, okay, windmills is another aspect of destroying the countryside. for inefficient electricity. And yeah. I think the emails on the Samsung deal on the windmills would be worse than the gas plant, because it was originally $7 billion with the windmills.
And that was a sole, John, that was a sole source deal. That's what we're stopping at the province. Sole source deal to Samsung. Those wind turbines were actually paying more to have them there, being subsidized, than what they're worth. And the Bala, I was actually up the Bala, John, and I met a whole bunch of folks up in Bala. That's a perfect example why our hydro rates are so high. They would be building that dam, getting electricity, and not even using it. That's what kills me. They wouldn't even be using it. All these Bay Street boys and gals, they're making billions of dollars off the backs of the hardworking taxpayers. Oh, you know, the party with the taxpayers' money, my friends, are over. We're going to start respecting the taxpayers. We're going to start holding all these bureaucrats accountable and making sure we stop the sole source deals and feathering each other's nest. It's done. The party's over.
Okay, let's go to Bob in Hamilton. Quickly, Bob, please.
Yes, I have one question. Congratulations, Mr. Ford.
Thank you, Bob.
Do you have a strategy to get people out to vote? Last election, apparently, only 52% of eligible voters came out. If that happens, when is going to win again?
Yeah, well, I have the best strategy in the world. If you want a disastrous provincial government that's going to tax you to death, then either stay at home or go vote for Wynne. If you want a prosperous region and get Ontario making sure that we're the engine of Canada and we'll have this place booming, we'll have prosperity that this province has never seen before, come out and vote for the PCs, vote for your local candidate, vote for Doug Ford, because there's one person that's going to watch your hard-earned tax dollars, and that's Doug Ford.
Doug, we are basically out of time, but before I let you go, I am tasked with getting a promise from you that would you come back here when we have an event with our affiliates at CARP, a town hall or whatever it ends up being?
I love the folks from CARP, and again, that these are the people that built our province, built our city, built our country. And I have to tell you, Libby, there's no better response in any radio show I go on in the whole province than your listeners. I'm not saying that. I've told my assistant that. I love going on your show, and I love your listeners.
Okay. Well, they seem to love you too, Doug.
Well, thank you so much, Libby, and look forward to definitely coming on with the folks from CARP.
Okay. Congratulations again, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. All the best.
Okay. Bye-bye. And that's all the time we have. And people, if you didn't have a chance to get on, Free for All Friday is coming up, and I'm sure we'll be discussing this again and again and again. Right now, we break for traffic and news.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.